You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we will be discussing lazy teenagers.
Well, Ashley, I don't think that any parent can say that they haven't had moments of being really frustrated with their kid and they feel like they're more concerned about their kid's school or their future or their success or their job and their home responsibilities than their kid is. It can be very annoying. I happen to be a very self-motivated person, and so I get very irritated and annoyed when my kids are not that way. I get really frustrated and wonder if maybe it's an issue of my personality and that I need to chill a little bit, or maybe it's just more than that.
Yeah, no, I feel the exact same way. I'm a type A. I'm super busy. Actually, the hardest thing for me to do is slow down and rest. And there's been often times where I, you know, jump my teenager's case, you know, and I'm like, you've got time to do this and this and this. And what are you doing wasting your time? You know, and she'll come back and be like, Mom, you know, I just finished all of this stuff. I'm just taking a break. And it's kind of eye opening. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good. Like, you need to take a break because I'm really bad at taking breaks.
And 5 minutes, I think, and then you're back to it.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a personality thing. So I think this episode will be very helpful for me and for our listeners to kind of separate the division of, is it a personality thing, you know, like, is my teenager just downright lazy?
Especially since this is why it's good that there's three of us, because I'm just going to say right up front, I am not like that. I am good at taking breaks and have been my whole life, and spent much of my childhood and adolescence. I probably accused of, my parents weren't mean about it, but I really was always labeled lazy. And so, and even now, you know, I get stuff done, but when people like you guys talk about, I just got to get going and I just don't like taking breaks. I'm like, yeah, I got to be honest. I like taking breaks. I'm really good at it and I procrastinate. So that's why there's three of us. You know, there's always got to be at least one of us that goes, oh, I know all about that.
I think some of us are motivated by a to-do list and checking off all the tasks, and you know, other people just aren't. And so maybe Ashley and I are in that category of got to get it done because I got to finish my list.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So what are some reasons for teenagers specifically being lazy or unmotivated?
That's actually the right place to start, because just like y'all said, I mean, the complaint about my teenager being lazy comes up in my office all the time. And, you know, lazy, the definition really is just unwilling to work or use energy. So that's just a very basic definition. But what really is required is to think about what are the reasons for this. And I will say right now that there is a type of lazy parenting. And the lazy parenting is someone who is unwilling to do the hard work of sorting through the causes of their teenager's laziness. And that is just easy to do. And just label it lazy. It's a kind of a catch-all phrase. Remember when we talked about how parents will take a teenager's, what they're angry and resentful about, and just call the whole thing attitude. It's just attitude. Well, no, you probably want to sort through what is that? And laziness has lots of causes and influences. One of them is temperament, that some kids are not as high energy as other kids. And we have a culture, most of the parents I work with, pray for that neurotically anxious, high energy overachiever, perhaps like you two, that, you know, they just can't sit still. They want to do things. They want to be motivated and doing things all the time. We had at least one of my kids is that way. And we just think that you can set that as the norm. Well, that is not the norm for everybody. Temperaments vary. And some kids are low energy versus other kids that are the kind of high frantic kind of temperament. The other big influence that's a big deal is what do our teenagers needed for? And that has gone on since I was a kid. My grandfather was not lazy. He got up with my Uncle Jack and they fed the hogs before school. And then, well, that's not admirable. It was required. And they knew it, that if they didn't do it, it was not just a little chore we're asking. It's like needed for the family. And most of their friends in this West Texas, actually they were in Oklahoma, you know, they all did it. So they weren't lazy, but it was also because they were needed and they did the things, you know. You've got to think about when we did an episode on entitlement, what are your teenagers needed for? So mm-hmm. it is harder to be motivated, self-motivated in a household that, you know, we don't actually need them to do anything. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
The other factors that can play into it would be fatigue. Teenagers regularly need about, on average, 9 hours of sleep a night. And on average, they get 7 or less. Mm-hmm. And so fatigue is a pretty big deal. One of them to think about is overwhelmed. It, you know, with go get a job is not simply a motivation or laziness issue. It is very often an issue of what do I do exactly? Yes, I am going to get a job tomorrow. Okay, what does the video of you going to get a job look like? Do I go on the internet and search? You know, some activities are overwhelming. Certainly school can be that way. And so it looks like laziness, but in fact, it's really not knowing the steps to do the next thing. And then sometimes it's really depression that mm-hmm. if, you know, you have a teenager, it's not lazy if he or she doesn't really want to be with friends anymore and doesn't want to do school, really doesn't do much of anything but sit in their room and sleep all the time. I would not call that lazy. That's much more than lazy. And then the last mm-hmm. big influence that we've talked over and over again, that is screens. I mean, teenagers have bedrooms that are like amazing golden cages that are just, you can stay in there and be on these screens, certainly video games and things that absolutely contribute to their not working on the things they need to work on. But I would not call that lazy. That is super distracted and immersed in this universe of screens. So it starts with kind of sorting through a pretty significant list of what is causing this, what we call lazy.
You know, Dr. Ken, since you mentioned that, I wanted to remind our listeners that we did a whole episode on entitlement back on episode 12.
That's right.
As well as depression on episode 27. So if our listeners are thinking right now, you know, is my teenager just acting out in entitlement? Go back and listen to episode 12 and just refresh what entitlement looks like and how parents can address that.
Yes.
As well as depression on episode 27.
That's true. That's good.
That's good. So let's talk about some specific areas. I want to be careful because this could end up sounding like a whining session because I may or may not have had some personal experience with this. And I'd like to, you know, make sure that my kids still like me.
You're asking for a friend.
I'm asking yes. for a friend.
A listener wrote in.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So let's talk about some specific areas, starting with home. You know, kids have house responsibilities. You know, do they not see all the stuff that they've left behind in their wake? I don't understand why they don't seem motivated to pick up all the trash from their snacks, the glass that they had their water in, et cetera, their shoes, their jacket, their book bag. Everything is strewn about my house and no one seems to notice but me. What's going on there?
Well, that's a good example because number one, the most common reason for that is because I have a person that takes care of that for me. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure you're not the person that takes care of that for them. And mm-hmm. for a lot of parents that are very eager to be good parents, they've really, that's what we talked about in entitlement. You can end up kind of taking care of stuff because it helps you to feel good, but it isn't preparing your child. And it definitely isn't preparing your teenager. So mm-hmm. you want to take that out of the formula that I am not going to keep doing this. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to require that, you know, for example, in planned emancipation, you don't have to clean your room. But that does mean that before bedtime, all of your stuff has to be picked up and out of the rest of the household. And don't be shocked if they don't really care about it. Because again, they don't really have to sort of. A lot of parents have told me with sort of almost resentment that this jerk, lazy kid of mine went and stayed with his friend's family. And they said, boy, he is just so great. He helped out. And we're like, what do you mean? Who are you talking about? And it shows a lot about kind of what the sense of motivation is. And you want to mm-hmm. do what you can to change that level of motivation. Stop doing it for them. And don't be surprised if you have to put a moderate consequence in there that does require them to do that, because that's pretty common. And the cause very often is because I've used to have a lady that did this for me. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. We've resigned.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I should add, by the way, that's also an example where some kids are really bad at it and just can't seem to, and we still do the consequences. And many of those kids are ADD. Mm-hmm. ADD, which I happen to have myself, can be visually a very strange thing where, do you not see this stuff? No, I actually kind of didn't. It's not my vision. It's my focus. And so, but again, that's only a understanding as a cause, but it's still their responsibility. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is worth thinking about, because the thing that you want to avoid is the parent response that you are constantly and regularly berating your teenager for being lazy. You know, you just are so, that is the laziest parenting I know of. Mm-hmm. And especially if a kid is ADD who is in fact struggling to keep everything organized in their own life and definitely don't see the stuff they leave around. Again, that's not an excuse. They still have to take care of it, but it certainly doesn't help them to misread what is the cause of this. So you can fine your kid for, hey, dude, you owe me $2 because there's still stuff in both the living room and the kitchen. Did you take your medicine today? I'm wondering in the evenings if it's harder for you. But anyway, you owe me. It's still responsible, but you know, not throwing everything, as it's sort of the theme for today, not throwing everything into the lazy bucket.
Dr. Kim, what about a teenager that always forgets their responsibilities at home?
Yeah, I think two things is, one, don't be really kind of flipped out about it. It's easy to kind of have the attitude, which has been implied already today, that what in the world is wrong with this person for not mm-hmm. doing it? Well, again, many of those same teenagers, when they go stay with someone else, do it. So mm-hmm. what's wrong is that they kind of have a regressive comfort level at home. Right. That, you know, adults do that even when they go to their parents' house. So you want to take that away and don't be afraid to put moderate consequences, but define what the chores are. I need you to vacuum this part of the house or the whole house by this day and this day. All of your own stuff has to be taken out of the common areas, that kind of thing. But here's the other part. We touched on this in the episode on entitlement, and that is, try to be creative in seeking genuine help from your teenagers. It's so funny how the chore that most all teenage boys end up with is the trash. And I have no problem with that, because you're the low man on the totem pole. Get out there. But it is also demotivating that you're just handed the lowest, you know, task on the totem pole, because we also know that you need to be motivated. And we continually tell you, you know, if you keep doing this, you'll never get a job. That's just hardly gets a kid going. So right. I think it's important to try to creatively also think about things that she or he may be actually good at. And listen, I need your help with your little sister tomorrow, because I've got to get going and I need, and things like, you know, oh, mom, I'm telling you, I need this. Or the kid that's really good with computers, don't be afraid to ask them, can you come in? I don't know how to do this. They've locked me out of something. What do I do? It really empowers teenagers to feel the skill that they have being needed by the family. And that mm-hmm. requires a little more finesse. You know, it's pretty hard right. to, you know, want to help me or I'm going to ground you. But at the same time, I would pretty regularly remind them of your needs and even the needs of other people in a way that creatively communicates to them that you're not just an unnecessary cog in this family anymore. You're an adult, and I really need your help on some stuff. And don't be afraid to throw that out.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that is something that I struggle with, the creativity of needing my teenagers. Sometimes I wish that we did live like on a farm and had so many responsibilities.
Yes.
But we don't. I mean, we live in a cookie cutter neighborhood. We have a tiny yard. We have a yard guy that mows our yard, you know, and so it's just house chores. And I'm a stay-at-home mom. And so, you know, I get most of the things done throughout the day. And when they come home, you know, I don't need too much for them. And so I've got to be mindful of leaving things for them and yes. asking their help in certain areas. And that's hard for my personality, you know, like we said at the beginning of the episode, because
yes.
I don't like to waste time. I like to get everything done.
And you can get everything done, which is yeah. a gift. in the farm, you can't. Ever talk to someone who's raised on a farm? They always tell me, I'm never going back to a farm.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, and I think I agree with you, Ashley. I'm the same way, where I tend to get things done and I like them done a certain way. So often I get them done myself because I want them done a particular way. And that's not always a wise or healthy thing either. It's good to involve my kids and say, hey, I need you to make dinner tonight. I just didn't have time to get it done. And then let it be what it's going to be, not be hovering over the situation and telling them exactly how to do everything.
That's true. Right, but as a teenager, you don't need to pretend this is really good food. No, it's edible, but I mean, come on.
Yeah. Thanks for opening the can of SpaghettiOs. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they always rise to the occasion. Like Dr. Ken said, you know, there's been times where I've needed my oldest to babysit, and that just brought her such a sense of pride to watch her siblings while I had to go, you know, do something else. And she just really stepped up to the plate, and just so proud of her. And just seeing that in her. And so I've got to be more creative of giving her those opportunities to do that.
That's exactly right. And remember, when your teenager does help you like that, don't do the patronizing kid thing of announcing to the whole family, your sister was so helpful today. That goes back to eight. You take your teenager aside and say very sincerely, listen, I just got to remind you, this morning was huge for me. Thank you so much. And that's much easier for them to swallow. It's much more adult to adult, but they absolutely can be motivated by that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, let's switch gears to school.
Yes.
What about the kid who's always waiting until the last minute to finish his schoolwork and then only just produces some passable work? This can be very frustrating.
One of the reasons I'm really good with teenagers with ADD is because I can beat their stories to death. So they're like, Dr. Wilkes, I put stuff off. And I always go, really? Okay, how about this? I remember sitting in my English class, junior or senior year, can't remember, hearing two girls talk about the paper that they had worked on all week. The paper that I had started at 10 p.m. the night before. That was typical of me. I put stuff off all the time. And I didn't even have a computer or screens. Oh, my goodness. So the main reason, well, there were two reasons for that. One, I was at times lazy. And I think all teenagers are at times lazy. Mm-hmm. The other reason for that is I had undiagnosed inattentive ADD and was verbally intelligent. So English was not hard for me, you know, comparatively, you know, in a piece of cake. And I also knew I should do this stuff early. I need to get this done. But ADD is not a problem of knowing what to do. It's a problem of doing what you know. And so school is definitely one of those times that you want to not use the lazy bucket too easily. There are reasons why teenagers are motivated and focused. There are reasons why they are not. And lazy, I don't think, is a very good category for much of that. So right now, one of the reasons a lot of teenagers are struggling in school is because it's weird. This virus that we're having just makes everything more overwhelming. Is this the day I go? No, I stay home today. You know, that's clearing up some, but when I go, I have to remember my mask, and it is organizationally more complicated and overwhelming. That's still something they have to deal with, but it does not help if you just label that lazy. It's not true. The other part that I think is important to know about school is that I think we talked about this in the school episode. And that is, I work with a lot of parents that are kind of on the automatic pilot of life is good if you do excellent in school, all A's, go to some excellent college, which means you'll get excellent job and basically big money. And as all Christian parents know, that's the path to happiness. That is not, I can't remember that verse on how important getting big bucks is. So it's important to think about that sometimes what you might be calling lazy is a kid that isn't super excited about school and does okay, especially if they're intelligent enough that I can pull B's. I hear this all the time. Dr. Lewis, he pulls B's and the occasional C, but he could work and get A's. And I'm like, he told me where he wants to go to college, and he's automatically in. So what is your problem with, you know, you want to be careful about that auto message that thinks school, you must do excellently in school all the time. That is A, not the path to big money it used to be. B, it's not what Christian parents think is critical. And C, look for the other things that they actually are pretty interested in. you know, like that kid that's, he's still, you know what he's doing? He's on the internet and he's buying these tennis shoes for big money and he sells them for big money. He's just wasting his time. Yeah, that's called marketing. It's called distribution. He's going to be living high. You know, you will all be little people in his future. He's going to be very successful, but it just doesn't happen to be school. So set your motivation kind of goals correctly about school, because a lot of times what's called lazy in school is in fact kind of unnecessarily unrealistic motivations.
I think as Christian parents, you tend to have this mantra in your mind about, you know, excellence. And that's what we do to serve God well, is to be excellent in all that we do. And we push that on our kids, but it is a lot of pressure.
It is
for perfection. And that is not where we're headed with our
kids. I'll be honest. I mean, I have a prejudice about this, obviously, but that excellence thing, number one, isn't really, I don't know where there's maybe a couple of verses about that in, you know, Ecclesiastes. I don't know, but I'll be honest. I think it's often kind of a way to wrap up middle-class white values and call it Christian. Mm-hmm. Is that no, we don't need you to do your, you know, all A's, just do your best and excellently in school. Well, why? It's not unreasonable to ask, obviously do well, don't fail, but seriously, is that the reason to, you know, shroud your whole family in academic pressure from September to May every year? And, you know, so I would just be careful about what your expectations are.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when we talk about being Christian parents, that we've also got to realize that the Lord never puts that pressure on us. You know, it's easy for me and my sin nature to strive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or strive, but God has given me this gift that I didn't earn.
It's really true.
Somehow in my, you know, human brain, I still have this desire to strive. And that's a constant battle that I wrestle with myself in laying those things down. And I think that if we don't first recognize that with God and deal with that ourselves, that we put that same thing on our teenagers.
It's true.
That we're expecting them to just strive, you know, like they could get by with B's, but we want them to get A's because they need to strive.
That's
and
right.
Our teenagers see this, and it's kind of like this childlike faithness, you know, that they have.
Right.
Like, I'm getting B's, you know, like it's fine.
Yeah.
Calm down, Mom.
Yeah. And you know, if the greatest of these is excellence. No, the greatest of these is love.
Right.
And that's really what we strive for. And how often are we having to apologize for being very unloving to our children or teenagers, but you know, I'm just striving for excellence. That's not the greatest of these. Being loving is really what that's our goal.
Right. And
so, yeah, I don't know where we got off on this theology thing, but I think it's very important. And obviously I have a problem with this pushing the academic excellence thing, but.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I think that's kind of how this whole fear, lazy episode has kind of highlighted fear-based parenting. And just
it's a good point.
Realizing mm-hmm. that, you know, if you have a lazy teenager, I think it's important to dissect, you know, in what areas do you think your teenager is being lazy? Is it entitlement? Is it really entitlement, but you've put it under the umbrella as lazy? Or
yeah.
Is it really depression? Or, you know, or do they have a learning disability, you know,
right.
Like if it's school and you're calling it lazy, but really the teenager just has ADD. And so it's not lazy.
Right.
They're not doing those things intentionally to just make you angry.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really just highlighted, you know, the parents, when we started talking about lazy teenagers, it's kind of put the focus back on us in some mm-hmm. ways.
A lot of times it does. And then there's still the stuff, I don't want to forget that, you know, things like going back to doing the hard work of limiting screen time, which is so hard. They hate it, you know, but it needs to be done. Making sure that they're needed, and don't be afraid to put chores on a list with consequences. So there's things to be done about it, but standing around calling your teenager lazy is, you're right. That's just, that puts it back on us.
Okay. I want to jump back to school issues and include one big topic for those who have juniors and seniors, and that is college applications. Mm. You know, a lot of times parents just really get frustrated about the college application process because they seem to be more concerned about it than their kid is. The kids tend to wait until the last minute. They don't seem very motivated. They don't seem very organized about the process of it all. And it is a very complicated process. There's a lot to wade through. You got to get testing done. You got to get all your applications, your recommendations, your letters, all these things together. So it is quite a lengthy process, but it can be very overwhelming. And I think parents and kids alike can have a lot of frustrations attached to that.
Yeah. And you touched on it, that's a good example of what is almost never lazy. You know, if a kid has done well in school, I mean, I've got a lot of kids that have done really well in school, but all of a sudden he's lazy about college application. Really? After all this, you know, he just doesn't realize that you got to put effort in to get results out. Really? He's like in the top 10% at his school. What are you talking about? The most common reason, and you touched on it, it's complicated. It's like going to get a job. They may want to do it, but I'm still surprised at how complicated the process of applying for colleges are, and the efforts like the Common App and things where they've tried to make it simpler. Still, it requires a bunch of steps. So in those cases, good parents that, you know, parents that are understand planned emancipation know not to jump back in and go, look, you know, you're grounded until you apply for this and that, is as scary as it may be. But you can be very regularly the parent that every other day is going, hey, I'm sorry, I'm real worried again. And you know me, so I hate to keep bothering you, but you haven't even contacted, like, bring it up, talk about it, help them through it. And maybe even if you have a good relationship by that point, if you've been doing planned emancipation, you should, then they will let you help them. And the most common way to help them is whatever organizational skills you have. Look, I made a little list here. So this college, you need this and this and that. You already have this done. So I'm going to draw a little line through it. And you know, just make it fun in terms of trying to help them not to be overwhelmed by it. Because in my experience, that's by far the most common reason for, quote, laziness, is that it is overwhelming. And like a job application, it's overwhelming in the thing that you're having to go hat in hand to this school and go, will you let me in? Can I be with you people? And it's just, you know, it's a big risk. So trying to get alongside them and help is very important. Absolutely deciding, look at this, all of a sudden they're lazy is just, that's lazy parenting.
Mm-hmm. And I think you touched on it, that this is a huge life transition for them. And I think they're just unsure. And so it feels like no decision is better than making a decision about which colleges to apply to. It just feels very, very vulnerable to apply to these colleges that you really want to get into and then find out that you are not invited there or something like that. So,
and none of that is about lazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So let's switch gears to jobs.
Yeah.
Let's say that we've got a teenager that doesn't have any extra money, doesn't seem to care about getting a job, and just waits for the next birthday or holiday to get money from family members.
Yeah, happens a bunch. So there's a couple of potential issues there. I already mentioned that go get a job is actually a complicated project. It's not, you don't just, all right, I pushed the job button and I'm going tomorrow. You have to, what do I do? So you might talk with them about, do you have a thought about how you're going to do this? I am perfectly in favor of you calling in favors that you have with other parents or friends that, look, if you don't get any other job, then remember, you can always go back to Mr. So-and-so's warehouse job, which he says you can do or whatever. But then the other one that you kind of implied is that they don't have money, but they're waiting for birthday, which for many teenagers means they're getting way too much cash at birthday. And so they actually don't need money. Like they can, you know, I've got teenagers that have a pretty fat savings account and they don't happen to be high energy social kids. So they don't need it. Yeah. So the issue there is where you can go back to examining what are they required to do. That is the main problem that our teenagers have. They don't actually have to do anything and the family won't fall apart. They'll still eat and get where they need to go and they have a roof over their head. So re-examine, if you want a car, you are going to have to earn X amount and mean it. And if you're going to be going to college, you will be required to provide your expenses for this amount of that time and mean it. That should be a thought through thing that involves probably a spreadsheet that makes sure that they, as best you can, make it real for them that they're going to have to do it. I keep saying mean it because I don't, you know, it's so weird how often a parent will talk in real firm tones. Now, listen, I'm not going to be paying for your stuff. And what, but the teenager knows that, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. I'm still live my life and I just wait for my birthday. And grandma always gives me some absorbent amount, you know, stack of cash that keeps going.
What about the kid that would rather play video games in my basement all summer than seek some employment? They find other things too much of a draw to get motivated about getting a job.
Yeah, that, you know, see how this blends into these episodes we've had before. So mm-hmm. that goes back to screens and video games episode, where if they're a senior or spring of the senior year, you know, I've mentioned before that you really need to limit video games and screen time, and you'll get a lot of pushback, but you need to do that, almost like drug use. I'm not going to say it's the same as drugs, but don't be afraid to limit that. But at, so that unless it's at the very end of their adolescence, because at some point you need to leave that up to them, which could be senior year, or spring of senior year. If it's any time before that, then the first answer is you limit screen time. 2 hours a day is on a weekend is plenty. And an hour on the weekday is plenty. And I have to repeat that because I know teenagers will absolutely look at you like, you have ruined my life. I can't live on just 2 hours a day on weekend. That's just crazy. So stay firm with that. And then the other part, that so that this teenager isn't in a basement, we don't have basements in Texas, but isn't in their room with this big distracting stuff, limit the screen time. And then number two, re-examine, especially the job thing, make sure that they, as best you can, really need to get a job. And mm-hmm. that in worst case scenarios, even with sophomore or junior, you can let them know that, look, I know you're not getting out and doing stuff. You're sticking to the screen limits, but in another week, if you don't have anything, then I'm actually taking my video games and I'm sorry, I hate to do this, but I'm not going to make it easier for you to sit around playing games. If you're not doing the hard work of getting a job, can we talk again about what are you doing to get a job? Because I want to talk to you about what might be helpful in getting that and, you know, help them structure it. But yeah, you might need to, that teenager that's in his room playing video games needs to be limited on the games and then financially required to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not lazy. That's too simple.
It's true. I like this. I think this is good. I think it's important to review the motivation for our kids, what we call lazy behavior. Maybe there's something else going on. And you're right. It's easy to be a lazy parent and just just call your kid lazy instead of investigating kind of the true start of all of it. Well, thank you guys for this episode today. I appreciate you, Dr. Ken and Ashley. Thank you for contributing your wise words to this conversation.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.